Welcome to this podcast from SearchManufacturingERP.com. I'm David Essex, the editor of the site. To survive in increasingly globalized markets, manufacturers must reduce complexity and increase standardization in their production processes. It requires a tricky balance between locating design and manufacturing where it can be done most efficiently, while still shipping the right products to global customers as quickly as possible. IT holds part of the solution. But what software applications and other technologies do companies need? What are the pitfalls IT managers should be prepared to face? Today, Joe Barkai, Practice Director at IDC Manufacturing Insights, explains the tools and best practices needed for effective global manufacturing. Joe, thanks for taking the time to speak with us.
Thanks for inviting me.
So what would you say are the most important globalization issues that IT departments at manufacturers are being asked to address nowadays?
In principle, what IT departments are asked to do is to provide connectivity, to provide visibility to the operation across the broader fulfillment network. That is, all the activities around product lifecycle within the enterprise as well as outside the enterprise into the supply chain elements, into partners and design partners, supply partners. They are asked to use those facilities to use the connectivity and visibility to deliver a high level of operational intelligence, to improve the capacity for high fidelity decision making throughout the product lifecycle. And what they're asked to do is also to look at how new technologies and new business models support those initiatives around better visibility, better decision making. And what I mean here is technologies such as cloud-based delivery, mobile devices, analytic tools.
So you and some of your colleagues at IDC Manufacturing Insights have been advocating something called the global plant floor as a mechanism for being more flexible but efficient at manufacturing in a global environment. Can you explain what that is and what the benefits might be?
Sure. Global manufacturers, especially those of complex, highly engineered products, think automotive, farm, construction, industrial machinery, to some extent aerospace, are adopting a design anywhere, make anywhere, sell anywhere strategy, which really means the ability to design products in one area, one geography, build it anywhere as necessary so it's close to the point of consumption, and then sell and service these products where they are consumed. What companies are doing to facilitate that is to really design products that have high degree of commonality across them. They increase the level of platform products across their product portfolio. So they're looking for ways to reduce complexity, to reduce the cost of products, to improve the time to market, to improve quality through this strategy of the global plant floor, the strategy that says design anywhere, make anywhere, and sell and service anywhere. And one important part of this strategy is to be able to manufacture product close to the market in order to not only reduce the logistics cost of shipping products to the point of consumption, but also to improve brand awareness, to improve customer attachment to the product. And at the same time, proximity to the market also allows the necessary level of localization in order to better meet consumer expectations, to meet local regulations, to meet the manufacturing capabilities of this local market.
What are some of the key software applications and other technologies that companies will need to be able to do this design anywhere, make anywhere, and sell anywhere strategy?
Essentially, we see this as touching almost every existing type of applications. But I think that this challenge, these needs challenge those applications to a greater level of performance and interoperability. So fundamentally, we look at how PLM, product lifecycle management software, is used to design around this platform strategy, how to manage complex configurations, how to implement what we call DFX, design for X, or design for interdisciplinary constraints such as design for service, design for manufacturing, design for warranty. We see that companies are striving to have better PLM and ERP integration to allow this end-to-end visibility. They also extend this visibility down to the shop floor, so we're looking at investments in improved shop floor automation and visibility, intelligent manufacturing, as it were, to inform the upper part of the life cycle about manufacturing operations. And we also see increased use of analytic tools to improve the ability to detect issues early enough to have sufficient context for better decision making.
Are there any other general IT infrastructure improvements, maybe networking improvements or other technologies that companies should be looking at?
Yes, I think this is a very good point, because what often happens when we talk to companies about global manufacturing is that they talk about global IT architecture, they talk about interoperability, about connectivity, but very quickly they realize that the problem is really, the big problem lies once you've implemented that network and we took care of network performance and security. The issues really are in the data, not so much in the connectivity. What I mean by that is they discover, manufacturing companies often discover that they have incompatible product structures. They have overly complex bill of materials. They have inconsistent taxonomies. So when they refer to a part or a failure mode or a design attribute, there's no common taxonomy. There's no agreement about what different elements mean, how different parts of the bill of materials come together. And this reduces the ability to have nonstop visibility from end to end. It reduces their ability to reuse parts and designs and intellectual property because the taxonomies are inconsistent. So what we're seeing and what is our advice to IT organizations is to really think beyond the network and think about the data that the network would need to support and drive complexity reduction and improve consistency of information stores.
Can you give some examples of some manufacturers who have done a good job of this?
Yes, and I don't know that there are too many companies that have done consistently good job across the entire product life cycle, and it's a very, very difficult task. So I'd like to look at companies that have made the most progress, I guess, relative to what they started and where they are today. And despite the criticism about the automotive companies, I think that the company that I find have made the most progress is actually Ford Motor Company, considering the improvement that they've made. And what Ford was able to do over the last 5 years is, first off, we talked about reduction in complexity. They reduced the number of different nameplates from 97 to 37, I believe, and their target within a few years to reach even smaller number of nameplates or makes and models, about 30 or 35 of those. And this immediately has tremendous impact on their efficiencies, on their quality, on their ability to make better decisions because they have, in a way, simpler context. Ford also is aggressively pursuing a platform strategy that is a very small number of core products that can then be modified and manufactured to meet specific market segments, specific customer taste and demand. At some point, Ford had 12 models built on a single platform that is the same basic design was used to create 12 very, very different vehicles. So that is really taking the platform strategy to an extreme. Now, Ford is not doing this only on the architecture side, but also do the same or the corresponding effort. They take the corresponding effort on the IT side. So Ford is going through a very conscious effort to reduce the complexity in data structures. We mentioned this a little bit earlier about reduction in bills of materials, consistency of taxonomies. They improve their ability to manage very complex configurations, and they continuously going through a kind of a cleanup process of their bill of materials and taxonomies.
So what are some of the pitfalls that IT managers should be prepared to face when they go to implement this technology?
We talked already about the need to look beyond the IT infrastructure question. So we talked about the need to reduce complexity in data structures and operations. We talked about the need to improve visibility, the end-to-end visibility, and build analytics on top of it. And I think that the two challenges perhaps I want to talk about, one of them is around analytics. I think that business analytics is not really about dashboards, and I find too many vendors offering snazzy dashboards and too many companies get hooked on kind of fancy dashboards. It's really about providing business context for decisions. So therefore, the role of analytics, leveraging this visibility, is to provide the complete, up-to-date and accurate context for decision-making. And it's true for, I guess, a machine operator on the floor, as well as it's to a person in the corner office making business decisions. They need to have the accurate, up-to-date, and error-free context for decisions. So I think that analytics needs to bring, you know, we call this business intelligence. I think it's about time we bring the business context into this conversation. And the other point I wanted to bring up in this opportunity is the recent excitement over mobile devices, smartphone, tablets, and so on. And while I think that remote access for early warning, for better utilization of workforce, et cetera, are very, very important, we need to make sure that, again, we do not forget the business context. You know, an iPad in itself or a smartphone in itself does not really have much of a business value unless the content provided has the right business context. So it ties back to the analytics component. We need to bring greater level of business context to decisions.
Well, thank you, Joe.